In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The sufferings of this world, St. Paul says, cannot be compared to the happiness of the glory to come. These words are laden with meaning, for we know how much we suffer in the present life. Sacred Scripture says, great labor is created for all men, and a heavy yoke is upon the children of Adam, from the day of their coming out of their mother's womb until the day of their burial into the mother of all, meaning the earth. And suffering is the lot of man, whether you are good, whether you are evil, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are born to aristocracy or whether you're lowly, you have suffering. It is the lot of man. And this suffering comes in the form of sickness, poverty, cares, and troubles about all sorts of things, so much so that many times people cannot even sleep at night. It comes in the form of tribulations and accidents and misfortunes, such as war, epidemics, floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, drought. In the book of Job, it says, man, born of a woman, living for a short time, is filled with many miseries. And there are special sufferings of the pious, the good Catholic. There is the daily temptation against virtue, especially chastity, that he must fight against. And then there is the unbelief and the immorality of the modern world, which is a daily cross. To merely read the newspaper is to find out that we live in a sick and twisted world. To look at a television set for a half an hour is to find out that we live in a sick and twisted world. And then there is the miserable state of the Catholic Church, which is also a daily burden that we have lived with for many, many years. And this miserable state of the Catholic Church has in turn caused the splitting up of families. Practically every family that I know of is split because of religion and because of the dictates of religion, which is morality. And this causes intense suffering. The extremity of human suffering here should give us a hope of the life of the world to come. Since the degree of suffering is so intense here, then the formula of St. Paul should give us a great hope of the life of the world to come. Just consider for a moment if we would remove from the earth the things that make us miserable. If we removed war, if we removed heresy and disbelief, impurity, avarice, stealing and cheating, if we removed poverty and murder and sickness and ignorance, death, bad weather, lying, having to go to work every day, if we removed all of those things, just imagine if we could take all of those things out of our present world, what a beautiful world this would be. We would not want to leave it. And yet, what I have mentioned are the contributions of man to the earthly paradise. God constituted this earth as a paradise. And the things that I just mentioned, which cause us so much pain and misery, are the things that man has placed in God's world by his sin. And if we could take these things out, we would be so happy to live here that we would never want to leave it. And this should tell us something, that if God could make such a paradise out of this planet for us, then what is it like where he lives? If this is merely a poor mirror image of the place where God lives, what is it like where he lives? What are the joys of heaven, where we see the source of all of the good things that we see merely in a representative way here? These are merely images of God's nature, the things that we love so much here. They are representations of his nature. And so the formula of St. Paul is laden with meaning if we consider what God did here on this planet. He says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what things God hath prepared for them that love him." St. Paul communicates to us three other important points in this epistle. The first is that even the irrational creatures expect a renewal of creation as the final effect of Christ's redemption. Because even the irrational creatures of the earth, the whole earth, the animals and the whole earth in general, was pulled down by the sin of man, because the earth was created for us. In a way, the earth is an extension of man. It is, in a way, his family, because the animals and the rest of the earth were made subject to him. So when he fell, the order of the earth also fell with him. And so St. Paul is saying, even the irrational creatures, in their own way, look forward to the renewal of the earth as a result of Christ's redemption. God said to Adam after his fall, "Cursed be the earth in thy work. With labor and toil thou shalt eat thereof all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee." Secondly, St. Paul says, all nature sighs to be restored to its original state before the effects of sin. And he says that all nature will be transfigured and renewed. So at the end of time, there will be a renovation of the whole earth, just as there will be a renovation of our bodies. And this will be the effect of the redemption of Christ. St. Peter in his epistle says, we look for new heavens and a new earth according to his promise, in which justice dwelleth. So it is the common opinion of theologians based on these texts that at the end of the world, the surface of the earth will be burned and renewed in such a way that the original paradise will be restored, in which the just will live after the general resurrection of the body. The moral conclusions of this epistle are these: to bear patiently the sufferings of this life as our daily cross, for our Lord, in bearing his cross and dying upon it, transformed suffering from a mere punishment into a means of salvation. The second is to have a sincere hope and desire for heaven. You only move towards something that you hope for. And if you truly desire heaven, you will strive to enter by the narrow gate, because it is only the narrow road with the cobblestones and the thorns and the thistles, the high road that goes through the narrow gate by which you attain heaven. And the third moral point, which is the converse of the second, is we must put to death the lusts of the flesh. For to love and pamper the corruptible flesh in this life will bring on an eternity of corruption in the next. St. Paul said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, so as to obey the lusts thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of iniquity unto sin, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the of justice unto God. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, lust, evil concupiscence, and present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.